that you've come ready to have a great time. We are going to do lots of music tonight. We love Irish music. I was just stepping in from this little side room here when Pastor said that if you asked if you had some Irish blood. So can I see it again? How many of you out there? All right, I see you out there. Good, good, good. Well, we're going to kick it off with an old Irish reel called The Red Hair Boy. Irish music comes in jigs and hornpipes and reels and all sorts of things like that. And so that was an old Irish reel called The Red Hair Boy. And we're going to do another one for you here. Let me introduce everybody to you just in case those of you who are visiting with us tonight. We've been here at the church throughout the week, but I'm seeing lots of new faces out there. I'm so glad that you came to join us. My name is Aaron Coffey. My wife, Stephanie, is that one right there. And we are from North Carolina. We have our kids down here in the front. At least some of them, and we're missing a couple. Anyway, I'm sure they're just doing fabulous. We're from North Carolina, and we have some dear friends who travel with us, and we have Riley and Bethany right here. They are from Alabama. Mike as well down there. He's from Alabama. We have Stephanie here. She is from Illinois. Phil, he's from Pennsylvania. Then down in the end, we have Hannah from Georgia. So we're from all over, but we're thrilled to be here tonight. We're going to play another fun one for you. This one is a couple different songs. The first one is called The Rakes of Kildare. And then the second one is, the second one then is Judy's Reel. Here we go. Thank you.
this next one we're going to do for you is a trio, some old Irish folk tunes we've kind of woven together here. It's Cooley's Reel, Morrison's Jig, and The Gael. And we've got a little prize option for you out here, a little competition for you for The Gael. It was actually, this particular song was featured in a historical fiction movie that was made back in the 90s. Okay, so here's your task. You need to listen, see if you can identify what movie it was from. Then get on your social media, okay? Get on Facebook or Instagram, look up Coffee Ministries, and send us a message with the movie you think it was from. If you're the first one to get it right tonight, we'll send you a message back. You can come on by the table after the concert and grab a free CD. So, The Gael, it's from a movie in the 90s. Figure out which one it is. Throw a like on our Facebook page or Instagram while you're at it, and maybe you'll win a prize tonight. For now, enjoy the Irish Trilogy.
Thank you.
the Irish came and they settled in the mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, all up through the Appalachian Mountains. They helped us build the railroad across the country. And so a lot of the old railroad songs, the mountain music, the fiddle tunes, even what we have today and call our bluegrass music, it all has some Irish influence on it. And the Irish came over bringing their violins and turning them into fiddles and playing those double stops and just a style that has such an influence on our early American music and a lot of our fun stuff. So we're going to play an old fiddle tune for you, maybe the greatest fiddle tune of all times. It's a railroad song. It's called the Orange Blossom Special. Anybody ever heard the Orange Blossom Special before? All right. So the Orange Blossom Special. Now, what was the Orange Blossom Special? It was a train. That's right. So this song's supposed to sound like a train. So if it just it's going to get faster and faster, just on the edge of getting out of control. But we're gonna pull it into the station safe and sound. So you just hold tight. Classic fiddle tune into the fiddles. Take it, and the rest of us just try to hang on tight as best we can. All right. Here we go. Fun. Music's so much fun. What a kind gift of the Lord to give us music just to enjoy. It's just so much fun. I hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy playing. Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going to have just a little bit of a transition song. We love to have fun, but we at the same time, we really want to make sure that we focus on what the main thing is, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we're actually going to continue with the Irish music. But we really want to lift high the name of Christ. And so what we're going to do right now, though, we're going to, just by way of transition, we're going to play a little medley of hymns called, we call it the Glory Land Medley. And it's in this same style, kind of in the Appalachian music style. Now, usually during this time, we have folks stand up and kind of move around and say hey to each other and greet and shake hands. But, man, we don't want to do that. You might sneeze on somebody. And so, but we are going to give you a chance to stretch your legs and turn around and wave. And so say hey to folks around you and maybe meet somebody that you've not met before if they're sitting close enough. And then feel free to, once you stretch your legs, you can sit back down and listen. But when we come back, it's things are going to change just a little bit in the concert. So this is a little bit of a in-betweener. All right, so let's stand together, say hey to folks around you while we play this next song. Okay, well, thanks so much for being out, and you can grab a seat. We are, as I mentioned a moment ago, we do want to have a definite transition here where we're going to continue with the Irish music, but we're going to start, it's all going to be Irish sacred music from this time forward, and I have several songs that we're going to play for you, and we'll kind of explain some of the songs. We'll explain some of the instruments and where some of these old songs came from. We're going to start off by just a song that really says it all, and it's simply entitled Lift High the Name of Jesus.
Jesus, our King.
Know very much about Irish music, you'll probably recognize the melody from this next song. It's the Star of the County Downs. And originally that song was about a girl. She was the star of the County Downs. And what we've done here is we've taken some old hymn lyrics written by William Cooper and we've put them to this old melody. And these words are pretty symbolic. They've got a lot of imagery mixed in with them. So let me tell you a little bit about that. It talks about how there's this fountain that's filled with blood. And any sinner that can plunge himself into that fountain will have all of his sinful stains removed. And the fountain that it's talking about is the fountain of blood that flowed from Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. The fact of the matter is that the blood of Christ is powerful enough to cleanse any sinner from their sins. And maybe you've come to the point that you realize you're a sinner. Maybe you know you have problems and you've realized that you can't fix those problems. You know what? What can heal you? What can save you from your sin is the blood of Jesus. In fact, right here in this song, it talks about someone who discovered that. The dying thief, the man who was being nailed to the cross beside Jesus because of his crimes. It says in the second verse that he rejoiced to see that found in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, have all my sins washed away as well. Listen as we sing, there is a fountain filled with blood.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
Am I on the wrong one? Now what you have right there, folks, is he just reminded me and warned me that everybody was getting ready to come in and we were going to be in a different key. I'm so thankful he did that. Doesn't that sound better? You know what? I would have never been able to get high enough to sing that song right there.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. lie silent in the grave. Then
on that last note I just had to hit right there, I promise you I could not have hit that in that other key. So that would have gotten real ugly real fast. Hey, we have another song in here planned for you folks to sing with us. A chance for you to stretch your legs, but a song for you to sing with us. Just the great old hymn, Amazing Grace. Let's stand together. It's your turn to lift your voice and sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet.
Going to come and play some more songs, but before we do, this would normally be the time when we would have ushers come forward and pass out an offering plate. We haven't done that in almost a year, believe it or not. This coming March is coming up on a year since 2 weeks was to slow the curve. You remember that? But we have instead, we still wanted to draw attention to the fact that this is a faith-based ministry, and as such, whatever we give to them really spurns them on their way down the road. In fact, coming up here this weekend, they have another 8-hour trip to go to get to their next church where they're ministering at. And so even as they play this next song, you may be thinking of ways that you can be a blessing to their ministry. We have available to you in the very back of the auditorium, there's a lockbox. There's also one over in the over by the missions display. You'll see one there. And if you would like to give to the coffee ministry, if you'd simply place that in an envelope and indicate on the front of that envelope that that's where you're giving it to. You can also give online if you'd like to do that as well. If you go to our website, faithpb.com, there's a place where you can give online, and there's a drop down that will go directly towards their ministry. Either of those locations would be a good place to give to them. But really, you can think in terms of if you came in this evening, you saw that big rig that was parked out, that's their house on wheels. But they also have ways to feed them, and also ways to get part of their team members that have donated and designated their time just to be a part of this. I want to say also, before we get to this next song, a special thank you to those that were a part of housing team members, feeding them during this week. It was so neat to see many different people chip in and be a blessing to the team, and I hope that they were a blessing to you as well. And so as they sing this next song, maybe you've been blessed this week, and you begin thinking of ways that you can be a blessing to them in return. So thank you.
That should fix us. All right, we're going to continue tonight with our concert with an old Irish hymn. It's called The King of Love, and that's a description of Jesus. And in this hymn, it describes him as a shepherd, as one that goes out and looks for the lost sheep. I know I was one of those. I know all of us were, either at some point in the past or we currently are. Someone who was lost and foolish, the song says, oft I strayed. And that's us. We need the kind love of the shepherd to come searching for us. That's who Jesus is. Just listen as we sing this old Irish hymn, King of Love.
The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. And he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the fertile pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth.
Never failing, ruler of my heart everlasting, lover of my soul on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of Love my shepherd is. The King of Love my shepherd is.
Thoughts I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil I fear no ill, with Peter or beside me. Thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me.
Never failing, ruler of my heart everlasting, lover of my soul on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of Love my shepherd is. The King of Love my shepherd is.
Let me just take a minute here to tell you what we're playing up here. Maybe you've wondered what some of these instruments are that we're playing. Nothing super, super fancy here. I'm just playing a six-string guitar and have a fancy little thing right here that, as you saw a moment ago, I have to make sure to put it in the right place. Call it a capo. Anyway, I'm playing a guitar. And then down on the end, we got Riley playing the big bass fiddle. We used to let him put that up on his shoulder, but it just was a little hard to hold, so we let him put it on the floor. Anyway, I love having the bass in there. It kind of rumbles under our feet, and I don't know if you can feel it. Yes. But anyway, it gives us a foundation to build the whole song on. It's so fun to have the bass. And then we have the mandolin there. We have Phil playing the mandolin, and this is an Irish mandolin. It's got the oval hole. It doesn't quite have the pop of your normal bluegrass mandolin. They have it's called an F-style hole, and it's got a little more pop to it. This one's a little bit more mellow, but the man, it's a mandolin, just the same as he's, is what he's playing. Then we have Stephanie here behind us. She's playing the violin, but then also playing the Bodhran. This is an old ancient Irish drum. We got a couple of them, and the team's been playing those. A lot of fun to have in the mix as well. Then, let's see, my wife is playing the penny whistle. Maybe you've wondered what that is, the little whistles. Maybe you've wondered if it was like a recorder or something. It'd be similar to a recorder in the way you hold it. But a recorder is actually a little more complicated. You can change keys on a recorder. You can't do that with a penny whistle. Penny whistle is one whistle per key. So like she's playing the A whistle or the D whistle or the C whistle. And it just goes right up the scale one time, and then you blow a little harder, and it'll jump an octave and do it again. But that's what it is. And so when we change keys, she has to change whistles. So sometimes right in the middle of the song, we'll change keys, and so sometimes she's doing a little juggling act, switching it around. So we have tons of these. That's actually why our trailer's so big, Pastor. It's trying to haul these things around. They're so take up so much space. Anyway, then we do have the accordion. How many of you enjoyed the accordion there tonight? Yeah, isn't that a lot of fun? Yeah, all right, good job there, Mike. Anyway, for those of you, under the age of 40, this is called an accordion. That's what this is, in case you were wondering. You don't see the accordion much anymore, but it sure is a lot of fun in with the Irish music. Then we down on the end, we've got Hannah on the cello. I love having the cello. Once again, one of those bass instruments that just, I'm telling you, when you take them out, you can just tell because it just lays such a foundation for the whole song to build on. So we love having the cello. Then Hannah's been playing lots of other stuff as well. We have the girls who've been playing the violins. Tonight they've been turning into a little bit of a fiddle. Has that been okay? You folks been okay with that? All right, good, good. So they've done a good job. Now, you folks know the difference. Do you know the difference between a violin and a fiddle? It's really a vernacular difference more than anything else. A violin has four strings, and a fiddle has four strings. And that's the difference, see? I'm trying to remember if I told that joke 2 years ago when I was here. I can't remember. Anyway, it's been so good to be here, though. We've enjoyed so much. Then we do have the spoons. Yeah, the spoons. All right. Did you hear? We had two sets of spoons. You've never heard dueling spoons before. Anyway, we love having the spoons. They're actually not Irish at all. We picked those up in a Cracker Barrel. For real, our kids were playing on the in the country store there, and I heard them clicking around, and they had this little set of spoons that were put together with this little plastic handle, and I'm like, ooh, I got an idea. So we've been using the spoons ever since. So that's what we've been, that's what we're playing here, and it's just a lot of fun. Let me just mention a few things out on the resource table, just so you know, we do have our Irish recording out there, Sing My Soul. Let's see if that'll pop up there on the, there we go. This is our newest recording. And it's a lot of the music that you're hearing tonight is on this CD, Sing My Soul. There's lots of you can buy the physical copy, or there's also ways to get online and you can download this music as well. And then we have back a few years ago, when we traveled with Steve Pettit, we did a recording, an Irish recording called Higher Ground. Once again, some of the songs we're doing tonight are on this one as well. And then our other CDs, Hymns Renewed and Just As I Am, are all the same instruments. And even though they're not actual Irish music like the Irish CD is, it's still going to have this feel and this flavor. And so maybe these aren't Irish. They're just kind of Irish-y. And so if you enjoyed this style of music, they're all going to be similar to that. And then you can grab one of our prayer cards as well if you would like out there. And pray for us if God puts it on your heart. I do want to just remind you of this, and then Riley's going to introduce our next song. But that card that they passed out at the beginning that Pastor mentioned filling out, please just a reminder, make sure to fill that out and hold on to it and turn it in. We do have a gift for you. If you are a guest out in the foyer, the church here has a gift bag that they want to give to you. And so make sure to hold on to that and turn it in at the evening.
Well, we've just got a couple left for you tonight, a couple songs. This next one is another one of those traditional Irish folk tunes. This one is Kingsfold. And what we've done is, once again, we've taken the hymn lyrics from an old hymn from the 1800s, and we've laid it over top of that melody. And the hymn is O Love Divine, written by Fanny Crosby. And what the song talks about is a love that is so, we could even say, otherworldly. It's so divine, it could only come from God. This is a love that would cause God to send his son, his only son, to die in the place of people who had rebelled against him. This is a truly remarkable divine love. And I think really what makes this love just takes it to the next level is that it's available to all of us. And as we come to the third verse here, it'll talk about a feast that's spread for all. And what it's talking about is that divine love of God that was shown to us when Jesus died on the cross and is available to all of us if we'll receive him as our Savior. So listen now as we sing, Oh Love Divine.
Steph's going to come and do one more song for us. When we started having these Irish nights, people with Irish blood who got invited would have a question. They'd want to know, are you going to do Old Danny Boy? How can you have an Irish night without Old Danny Boy? And Old Danny Boy was a really neat song. It was written about some Irish boys who went off and fought in World War I, actually, and they died in the war. And this song was written in memory of those boys who went off and fought. And so it's a special song. It always has been, always will be. It's sung to this day at funerals and memorial services because it's in honor of those who have given their lives for the freedom of other people. And that's special. Now, through the years, this beautiful melody, there's been lots of words that have been to it, that have been put to it that you can find. And Steph's going to sing some words that aren't the original words. But I want you to know those words she's going to sing are even more special than the original words. She's likewise, though, going to sing of one who gave his life for the freedom of other people. His name is Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you've ever understood this or not, but the Bible tells us that the Bible says that that really because of sin, the Bible says that we are in bondage. And I don't know if you've ever understood that. The Bible even goes so far as to say that we are slaves to sin. Now, maybe you say, what do you mean we're slaves to sin? It's just talking about the natural man, humanity, that we are slaves to sin. What it means is that sinning is so the natural bent of the human heart. It actually means that the natural man can't stop sinning if your life depended upon it. I dare you try. Folks, sinning is as natural to me and you as breathing. And because of it, this is the terminology the Bible uses, is that we are slaves to it. We are slaves to its power, but we're also slaves to the penalty of it. But I got good news. When Jesus Christ came and he died on that cross and then he was buried, but on the third day he rose again triumphant over sin and death. Can I tell you what happened? The chains of sin were broken. So that an old sinner like me could be set free. This is what he came to do for me. He came to give his life so that I could be set free. That's why we sing of him. That's why we're lifting high the name of Jesus tonight. Because of what he's come to do for us. So listen to Steph sing just a beautiful rendition of this great old song, Oh, Danny Boy. All right. Well, we are going to go ahead and let our children head on out. They're going to take just a few minutes tonight to finish up their program that they have been doing throughout the week. I knew I'd put my Bible somewhere around here. The kids have been having a program all week, and they've got to find out who won the week. And so they're going to head out tonight for a few moments. This is up through the sixth grade. Any kiddos who want to head out, they're going to have a great time. Well, you know, how do you finish off a night like this right here? I really just always feel like it's so appropriate to take just a few minutes to just talk about and kind of wrap up really what we've been talking about in as we've sung all these songs. We've been singing so much about Jesus Christ. And then where can I go in the Bible? I could go all over the place to really explain all that we've been singing about. I would love to just look at a couple of verses. And I wasn't sure who would have their Bible here. I actually put them up on the screen just so you could follow along. Let's see. Can you click it forward there one time, guys? Or maybe I can. It's the next slide there. I see it. Is it going across? Yeah. All right. I want to look at these two verses right here. Colossians chapter number 2. Listen to what Paul is saying. He's explaining something that has happened to these people. And he's I just want to take a few minutes here to look at this. Listen to what Paul says. He's talking to the Colossian church, and he says this, "And you, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Can I just pray just a minute and ask God to help us as we look at these verses together? Father, we come to you. Thank you so much for the gift of music and how fun it is, and just such a joy to play and to listen to. Just thank you. Thank you for these folks being here tonight. Lord, thank you for the truth that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know who's here tonight, and I don't know who needs to hear what we're talking about. Lord, all of us need to be encouraged by it, but some need to turn to it and accept it and become a believer in what we are talking about tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you will work for your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So it says right there that you being dead in your sins. Now, it doesn't make any sense to talk to someone and say, "Hey, so since you're dead." So obviously this isn't just talking about it's not talking about physical death. When it's talking about these people, it's basically saying that they were dead, but then when it says, "hath he quickened," that word "quickened" means that he brought you to life. This is talking about a spiritual resurrection from the dead. That's what it's talking about. He says, "And you, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Now, the word "dead" there, we know it's talking about in a spiritual sense. But the eternal sense of the word "death" really comes in after physical death. A person dies, and then when death is over, then there's on the other side of death, there's a judgment. I was with my son. We were at a graveyard looking at the grave of a pastor friend of mine, and I just went to visit when I was at his church. He had died horribly of cancer very quickly. Just boom, it was there, just a few years older than me. And I went out with my son. We're walking around, and after that, we started walking around looking at tombstones of 85, 95-year-olds, but then all the way down to 4 and 5-year-olds. And I looked at my son and I said, "Son, let me tell you the lesson of the graveyard. You know what the lesson of the graveyard is? That we're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but then after this is the judgment. And then later on, it tells us, the Bible tells us at the end of all of the judgments, there's the great white throne judgment. And at the end of that judgment, it says that all whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast out. And it says on that day that both death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the Bible has a lot to talk about death, both physical death, but then spiritually dead, but then also an eternal death, a judgment. But I want you to know that what Paul talks about here is he's talking about people being spiritually brought from death unto life. He gives us a word here. He brings up something that, listen to this, just listen to how incredible this is. He brings up a word here that allows a person like me and you to actually come to death with confidence. Could you die with confidence today? And actually come to the judgment with confidence that everything's going to be okay. There is a word that really explains something that God has made available for me and you that would allow me and you to come to death with confidence and come to the judgment with confidence. And it's all wrapped up in the last phrase of verse number 13 when it says this: having forgiven you all trespasses. That word forgiveness, I want to talk about it tonight. Now, in one sense, I would say everybody sort of understands the word forgiveness. You know, you do something to your buddy or your friend or your spouse. You say, I'm sorry. They say, it's okay. I forgive you. You know, the way we use the word forgiveness means, hey, you know what? Whether it's on a light sense, I'll sweep it under the rug or whatever. But we use the word fairly lightly. I forgive you. When it comes to talking about God forgiving all of our trespasses, I don't know if you've ever understood this word and how wide and how broad and how deep this word is. And maybe tonight you've never understood how expensive it was for God to be able to make available to you something called forgiveness. It was not cheap. It cost so much. Forgiveness. You know, Paul was an incredible writer, and he was an incredible picture painter. He actually gives us a couple pictures that I want to look at tonight. One of them is for the purpose of showing us our need of forgiveness. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, I don't need forgiveness. Well, I beg to differ, and so would Paul. And he gives us a picture to help us understand it. But then he gives us another picture that really shows us how God made it available to us. The first picture is, simple way for us to look at it is maybe as a financial picture. When he's talking about forgiveness, look at what forgiveness does. It says, having forgiven you all trespasses at the end of that second line. But then it says, and this is what forgiveness does, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now, what does it mean when he says a handwriting of ordinances? It's talking about the paperwork that stands behind a person's indebtedness. Now, I think we all, to some degree today in this room, would understand some indebtedness, whether it's a house payment or a car payment or whether, you know, just to make it really, really simple. I wonder how many of you have one of these in your pocket. I got a credit card here. This isn't my favorite credit card. I actually forgot to grab my favorite credit card. That's my Cabela's card. But this one will work. This is my our ministry card that we use. And I never had a credit card. All growing up, through my later teens, actually through my entire 20s, I never had a credit card. I was afraid of them. I was afraid I'd get in trouble, you know. And if you go spending money that you don't have, you'll get in big trouble. And so I finally broke down, though. I got married when I was 30 years old, just before I turned 31. And I was just trying to rent a car for my honeymoon, and I couldn't do anything without a credit card. And so I broke down and I got my first credit card. And I'm telling you, I get this thing and I'm using it for the first time on my honeymoon. And can I tell you something? Man, I like this thing. man, I'm having a good time. Man, I'm swiping it here. I'm swiping it there. You know, my young bride is looking at stuff and she's, what do you think? I'm like, I got that. You know, I'm having a good time. But you know what I found out pretty fast? I found out you go cruising through the month using one of these and having a good time. Guess what? At the end of the month, you get one of these. Now, you know what this is? This is, you all know what this is. This is my credit card statement. Man, I get this thing every month. Seems like every single month I'm going through it. I want to make sure they're not cheating me. And I go through and I'm looking. And it seems like every month I come to something and say, what? Baby, did you do that? And she goes, no, you did it. I'm like, okay, I did do that. I tell you, yeah, it's me. You know what this is? This is a handwriting of ordinances. This is a record of indebtedness. This is the paperwork that stands behind my credit card debt. This is exactly what Paul's talking about, but it's a financial picture to make a spiritual point that just like we cruise through life and we rack up some financial indebtedness, folks, he's talking about the fact that as we cruise through life, he's talking about a sin indebtedness. He's talking about how that there are on that judgment day when it says the books are going to be opened, there is a day of accounting. I mean, how many sins do we commit? You see, up at the top it says, and you being dead in your sins. And, you know, if you really start getting honest about what the Bible calls sin, folks, we sin so much. I mean, there's no telling how many times an average person would sin in a day, because it's not just the outward things we do. It's actually the inward motives and thoughts that we have. And folks, there's no telling how many times a person, there's no telling how many times I might would sin in a day. Sometimes I know good and well I'm sinning. Sometimes I'm just cruising through life so fast, I don't even mean to be so selfish as I'm making decisions. Folks, there's just no telling. I mean, but let's say you're so incredible you only sin one time a day. I mean, I just want you to know that's pretty, if you only sin one time a day, you're borderline angelic, I'll have you know. But let's say you only sin one time a day. I mean, all day long, you were just absolutely perfect. You thought of yourself never. You just loved and gave and served, and you were without sin all day long, except for just one little slip up. Just one little slip up a day. Just one time a day, maybe you get a little snippy with somebody. Or just one time a day, you know, you look down at somebody and think of yourself as better than them. Or just one time a day, you just fudge the truth just a little bit around the corners to make it a little easier to swallow. Just something little beyond that. You're just angelic all day. You still understand that at the end of a year, you sin 365 times, right? By the time you're 3 years old, you've sinned over 1,000 times. By the time you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, how many times have you sinned? I won't confess yours. I'll confess mine. Hundreds of thousands, millions. I mean, folks, there's no telling how many times I've sinned. It's no wonder it says on the day of judgment, the books are going to be open. How many volumes is it going to take to record all the sins of Aaron Coffey? And maybe you're sitting there and say, yeah, okay. So I've sinned more than I thought. But what about all of my good? I mean, where does that come in? I mean, doesn't all of my good come in somewhere? I mean, do you know how many people really, when it comes to their understanding of eternity they have in their mind? I mean, so many people all around us in their mind. Maybe this is some of you tonight. You have in your mind that at the end of this life, if there is some kind of a judgment, that there at that judgment, there's some form of a scale system. All your bad, okay, fine, maybe more than I thought, goes on this side. But then they're going to take all my good and they're going to pour it on this side. And hopefully, fingers crossed, you're hoping that your good outweighs your bad. And that's your plan for eternity. Did you know that the Bible actually directly contradicts that? The Bible says, listen to this, forget being perfect all day long and only messing up once. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says you can keep the entire law of God perfectly your whole life and yet offend once, sin once. And you know what the Bible says you are? Here's the word it uses. You're guilty. My friend, Maybe you've never understood God and His holiness and His heaven. But heaven is a perfect place made by a perfect God, and it's made for perfect people. Are you perfect? I'm not. I have a problem. It's called sin. And we are dead in our sins. That means that we are without spiritual life because our sins are so great. But these verses are talking about how God has made a way, even though we are dead in sin, for us to be made alive, quickened together with Him through this forgiveness of sins. And even right here, you know, on my credit card statement, it talks about this judgment date, right? I mean, I have it right here. Mine is right up here. It says payment due date, you know. Mine's on the first of the month. You know what it is? It's the day of, it's payday, right? On the first of the month, it's a day of reckoning. It's a day of accounting. And my friend, I want you to know there are so many people who just want to ignore the fact that they're going to have to see God someday. They almost, it's like if they can just bury their head in the sand and ignore it, it'll go away. That would be like me. Have you ever been tempted just to get your credit card statement and say, you know, you're going through it, you look at your wife and say, baby, let's do something crazy this month. Let's just ignore it and see what happens. I just got a feeling they know where I live, you know? My friend, you're going to meet God someday. And our sins are many. You see, the first picture He gives to us is a picture that shows a financial indebtedness, uses a picture to show a sin indebtedness. But then the second picture that He gives us is really one to help us see how it can be canceled out, taken away. I mean, look at the verbiage. I love it. Listen to what it says. So look at the beginning of the second line. Listen to what happens to our record of indebtedness, this handwriting of ordinances. It says that forgiveness does what? It's blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Yeah, listen, so in other words, God has made a way for my credit card statement to be canceled. Or not my credit card, my sin statement to be taken away, blotted out, canceled. What if you get your statement? You're rolling through, you're going through, man, you know, you're checking it all out. When you get to the very, very end of it, there's a note that says that somebody paid your credit card statement. Would you be okay with that? Man, I'd be okay with that. Matter of fact, I'll have this with me in the back later if anybody, you know. Wait. God has made a way through forgiveness for my entire sin indebtedness. Folks, I'm not talking about a month's worth. The whole thing. Listen to what He says. A way for it to be blotted out. Taken away. Gone. And listen to what He says. By nailing it to His cross. He brings up something right here that is just strange. He brings up all of a sudden, in the middle of this, a means of execution that was used at the time. A means of capital punishment that was used at the time that this was being written. This was being written during the time known as the Roman Empire. And Rome was known for being horribly cruel. Rome was known for the way that they would torture people. Rome they were known for their tortures. They were known for their ways. They're the ones who threw people to the wild beasts in the Colosseums for them to be ripped apart while the crowds cheered. I mean, we're talking some really, really bad folks. But did you know that of all of the means of execution, did you know that the one that they reserved for the worst of criminals was a means of execution called the crucifixion. And Paul brings it up here. You know what made crucifixion so bad? Because it was public and it was slow. The point of crucifixion was Rome used it to make a point. And what they would do, it was a means of execution that was excruciatingly slow. They would take a man, someone who was guilty of horrible crime, primarily a crime that was seen against Rome, and they would take a man and they would basically beat him to death almost. But then they would strap him up, tie him up, nail him up. It didn't really matter. He was just a piece of flesh. But they were going to hang him up in a public place so that people could see him suffer until he was dead. Because they wanted people to see it. And you know what they would do is they would take a parchment or a placard of some sort and they would write on it what the man's crime was. Because they would write it on there. And you know what they would do? They would take it and they would nail it to his cross. They would nail this placard or this piece of parchment to his cross because they wanted little Jewish family walking into the streets of Jerusalem to be able to walk over, little Jewish dad to be able to walk over and read why it is that this man was dying because Rome was making a statement, you don't mess with us, this is what we'll do to you. And Paul brings up a crucifixion here. And listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. This is how your record of indebtedness of all of your sins can be blotted out and taken away and forgiven. Here's what it cost. Are you ready? It says, by being nailed to the cross as the reason why this man is dying. What man? Who died on a Roman cross and nailed to his cross as the reason he was dying was my sin. It was a man named Jesus Christ. Folks, he's talking about Jesus Christ and my sins were nailed to the cross as the reason why he died. And maybe you're here tonight and you've never understood who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good prophet. Jesus Christ isn't just a good example of why we should all be willing to die for a good cause. Jesus Christ is none other than God Himself come to this earth to do for me and you what we can't do for ourselves. He came to live the life we should have lived. He came to die the death we deserve to die. And He came to rise triumphant from the grave over sin and over death so that people like me could be forgiven. That's who Jesus is. And that's why He came. My friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that my sins could be blotted out. So that my sins could be taken away. But you know, I had to come to a place, and Paul is talking to a bunch of people, or writing this letter to a group of people, who they actually had to come to the place where they accepted this. You actually can't just hear this story and say, huh, you know, that's a pretty cool story. Or you watch a movie and say, oh man, that's kind of a bloody movie about that man dying on the cross. Wow. Oh, well, that has nothing to do with me. And on you go through life. Folks, you've got to come to the place where you realize the story of Jesus Christ dying on the cross has everything to do with you. And your eternity hangs in the balance of what you're going to do with Him. And there's only two options. We are either going to accept what He did as payment for our sins, or we're going to reject what He did. There's no third option. Every single one of us in this room are either going to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross as payment for our sin, or we're going to reject what Jesus Christ did. And you want to know why most people reject Jesus? Most people reject Jesus because they don't really think they need Him. Most people reject Jesus, I'm convinced, because they don't think that they need Him. They think that maybe their own goodness Maybe they go to church. Maybe they got baptized. Maybe they you know, give money to a not-for-profit. And so in the midst of their goodness, they do not realize that they have a need that only Jesus can meet. And so they reject Him. You know, Jesus tells, and with this we're done, that Jesus tells a story of these two people. He says there was two men who came to the temple to pray. One of them was a religious man. The other one was an old sinner. Jesus said that the religious man began to pray. And he's, you know what he did? He started to rip through how good he was. I mean, you know what? Let me just say this. Maybe as you're sitting here tonight, you know what has run through your mind? In opposition to what you're hearing, you have run through your mind how good you are. That's what this man. You can read in the Bible. He starts ripping through his credentials. He starts ripping through how good he is. Listen to what Jesus said about the sinner. He said the old sinner wouldn't even lift up his head, but he just beat on his chest. And he said, "Oh God, would you be merciful to me, a sinner?" Jesus said these two men came to the temple to pray. But guess what? Only one of them walked away with their sins forgiven. Guess who it was? It was this one. This one was sick but didn't know it. This one was sick but couldn't be convinced of it. Matter of fact, guess who Jesus told this story to? A bunch of religious people. And his whole point was that, hey, religious people, until you realize that that's who you really are. My friend, have you come to the place where you realize that you're that man? I grew up in church. I grew up going to Sunday school. I was always involved in music. I got baptized. I put money in the offering plate. It wasn't until I was 21 years old, though, that I realized what a sinner I was. It wasn't until I was 21 years old that I realized that my good would never outweigh my bad. It wasn't until I was 21 years old that I realized how personal this story about Jesus Christ was. And at 21 years old, I realized that Jesus wasn't just, you know, dying for all the people of the world that I'd heard my whole life. I realized He was dying because of me. I realized that He was suffering and He was bleeding. And it was, are you ready? It was my fault. Sir, ma'am, have you ever realized it was your fault? Turn to Jesus. Don't reject Him. Accept what Jesus Christ has done. I'm telling you, He's offered to not pay a month's worth, but your entire sin indebtedness, past, present, and future, and it cost Him His life on the cross. Would you repent? Would you turn to Him? Would you be saved? Would you be saved? You can have your friend, you can have your sins forgiven. My friend, would you turn to Jesus Christ tonight? It's not some special ritual. It's not some magical moment. I will say it's spiritual, but it's not magical. It's you just turning to Christ. It's you coming to the place where you say, "I'm a sinner and I need to be saved." And I believe. We repent, we turn from our sin, we turn to Jesus. We repent of our sins, we place our faith, our confidence. What is your confidence? And I said that word at the beginning. I said there that God has made a way for you to die with confidence. To face the judgment on the day of judgment with confidence. I have no reason to fear the judgment. Because my sins are gone. So my friend, would you turn to Christ? Would you place your confidence in Him? and what He did for your sins. Would you be saved? You can be saved tonight and have your sins forgiven right here in this room. In just a minute, I'd love to give you just a chance to talk to the Lord and just pray. Now, we talk to God. We call it prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's not like, ooh, I got to make sure to get these words just right. It's not your prayer doesn't save you. It's just how we express to God what's going on in our heart. And He actually even knows what's going on in your heart. If He's really doing this work in your heart, I'm going to tell you, you can't even get this wrong. If He's doing a work of drawing you to Himself and He is working new life into you, my friend, just turn to Him and repent. Believe. Place your faith and your trust in Him and be saved. And your sins will be gone. Would you? Would you pray tonight and ask Christ to save you? You know, just a minute, just pray. Just say, God, I'm a sinner. Admit it's true. Admit that it's true. I'm a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are good, not one, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. So repent of your sin. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve your judgment. I am a sinner. But I believe that you've made a way for my sins to be forgiven. I believe Jesus Christ came and that my sins were nailed to the cross. I believe. I believe He rose from the grave to conquer sin and death. I'm coming to you for salvation. Would you save me? Would you save me? My friend, would you pray tonight? Would you turn to Him and be saved? Let's just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around. And just for a minute, with it just quiet in this room, would you just talk to God? Just right now, with it just deathly quiet in here. I don't know who's here. I don't know what the needs are of the people in this room. But right now, if you have never turned to Christ, if you need to be saved, if you need to have your sins forgiven, right now, would you repent? Would you admit it's true you're a sinner? Would you express your faith and confidence in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did? Right now, just cry out to God. I'm just going to have it quiet and just for a moment. You talk to the Lord, and then I'll say something in just a moment. But let's just have it quiet in this room for just a moment. You know, with our heads still bowed, I wonder if there's somebody here who you would say, Aaron, I'm trying to talk to God. I don't really know what to say. I know that I need to repent of my sin and turn to Him and accept what He's done. But I don't know how. My friend, please don't get caught up on magic words. I'm telling you, if God's really at work in you, then you can't get this wrong because He's doing this work in you. I can help you right now from your heart. From your heart. Would you cry this out right now? Just from your heart, take these words, make them your own. Right now, would you just say this? Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned against you so much. I know that I deserve eternal judgment. But I believe that you've made a way for me to have my sins taken away. I believe that Christ has come so I can be saved. I believe He rose from the dead to conquer my sin and to conquer death. And I am turning to you. Would you save me tonight? My friend, you finish your conversation between you and God, and then I'll close in just a moment. This is not between me and you. This is between you and Him. Father, thank you for your great grace. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the Bible that helps us understand. Lord, I pray that you are at work in this room, perhaps in the hearts of some of these people. Lord, I pray that if there is some here without Christ, they will turn to you. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. Well, folks, in the good news of Jesus Christ, just so encouraging to your heart. I know this room has so many people. This room is full of people who, just like me when I was 21, this room is full of people who've come to the place where they realize they were that man, sinner. Realize maybe you used to be this man, but now you've come to the place where you realize you're this man, and you turn to Christ to have your sins forgiven. Hey, maybe tonight there are some in this room who've placed their faith and trust in Christ. Maybe when I gave you a chance to pray, you said, "Aaron, I prayed and asked Christ to save me." Would you please do me a favor? Would you come find me afterwards and let me know? Man, you would just thrill me to death. I would love to welcome you to the family of God. And I know that Pastor Caleb would as well. The whole church would love to know. But come, let me know. Let Pastor know. If you're here and you had questions tonight, would you please let us know that? It's okay to have questions. I had questions for a long time. It's okay to have questions. Just make sure you get the right answers. And I believe the right answers are right here. So if you have questions and need to talk to me, or you want to talk to Pastor, man, let us know. Or if you want to talk to someone who you know who's here, please let us help you. And you know what? Maybe God's at work in you. Maybe you feel like God's drawing you and you can't even explain what's going on in your heart, but you didn't repent and turn to Christ tonight. Did you know that you don't have to be here? I was in my basement apartment in January 1996, sitting in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was sitting beside my bed and I turned to Christ and I was saved. You can do it tonight when you get home. You can do it in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, because maybe tonight's another night where you lay tossing and turning because you're not sure what's going to happen to you when you die. My friend, turn to Christ with confidence. With confidence, you can come to death and you can come to the judgment because your debt has been paid for. My friend, would you please turn to Christ? If there's anything that we can help you with, please let us help you. Can you do me this favor? Can you pull out that card? That's a good Southern statement. Can you do me this favor? Let's change that. Can you do this favor for me? Can you pull that out? And on the back of it, hold on to it because that we have a gift back here for you. But on the back of it, would you just give us a little feedback? The first one says, "Hey, I enjoyed the night." The second one says, "I'd love some more information about the church." Just help us know how about the night. The third one says, "Hey, I got questions about tonight's message." And if you want somebody to reach out to you, please mark that. Look at the last one. Please don't miss the last one. The last one says, "Tonight, as far as I understood, I prayed and asked Christ to save me." If that's you, would you please mark that last one? Just so we'd love to get some information in your hand to help you know what's next and what's happened. And please mark that last one. If tonight when we were praying, you prayed and you repented, you said, "Best understood, I turned to Christ tonight." That would just be so awesome. So mark that and then turn it in or take it back to the back. And there's a gift back there in the foyer for all of you who are guests with us. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, I would love to just finish tonight by singing one more verse of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. You know, John Newton wrote that song, and listen to what he said. It's crazy words. Listen to what he said. He said, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that would save a wretch like me." John Newton realized he was a wretched old sinner. But he said this, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see." Now, let me tell you something about John Newton. You know what we know is an absolute fact? He was not blind. He could see just fine. So what did he mean? He meant that his eyes were blind spiritually. But God did an amazing work of opening his eyes. And he said, "Now I can see." You know what our prayer is for all of you? Is that your eyes will not be blind, but that God will open them up. And help you see, first of all, that you're this man. You're a sinner. But see, have your eyes open to see that Jesus Christ came to save you so that your sins could be taken away. So that you could be saved. Let's sing just a verse. Let's sing the first and the last verse. That last one's just too good. Let's stand together and sing and then we'll be done.
Amazing grace, how sweet. Us now that's
Titled this week with the coffees, our Be Encouraged Conference. We hope you left encouraged this evening. On your way out this evening, if you are a first-time visitor, or perhaps first time in a long time, if you do have one of those cards, we do have a gift for you. The ladies in our Ladies Missionary Fellowship do a wonderful job putting together some gift bags, and we'd love to get one to your hands. If you have one of those cards, if you're a first-time visitor, or first time in a long time, back there where it says Welcome to Faith, you'll see a little table built into the wall as well as some shelves. If you put the card down, you swap the card out for a gift, and I'll be back there too to meet you back there. But we'd love to get you one of those to say thank you for joining us this evening. Before you go, I was handed this phone with a nice little purple flowery-looking case that looks like it probably belongs to a lady, but this is someone's missing cell phone. So if you are missing a phone, I am going to put it down here. Hopefully you know it belongs to you. I'm going to put it down here, and that will be your phone. So make sure you grab that on your way out. And then on your way out, don't forget to slip by the resource table and say thank you to the coffees for joining us. You are dismissed.